Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Amen. Amen. Wow. God is good. Let's pray. Father, this morning, thank you for bringing us together again. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the fact that it's because you are God that is why we experience this mercy and this compassion that we experience in our lives. I thank you for this second service and I thank you for what you have in store for us. Speak to our hearts, affect our lives. Let us not leave your presence the same as we came. Let the power from your word arrest our lives and may we change from glory unto glory. Thank you for everyone who is here this morning. I take absolute authority and control over this atmosphere. And I ask the Lord, you cause your angels and the power of the Holy Spirit to be moving and to be ministering even whilst your word comes forth. I give you praise and I give you glory for what you have done in our midst. In Jesus' name, and somebody shouted amen. Wow, why don't you put your hands together for the Lord? And you may please be seated. Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Are you glad to be in church? All right. So fasting is over. So tell all those people they should come. All right. Because people feel bad when they are not fasting. And therefore, you know, that's one of the psychologies there. The white people use. The psychology is that when you panic without being asked anything, it means that you've done something wrong. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So there are people who are trained in psychology and people behavior and body languages and all of that. And when you arrive at their airports, I told you the last time during the Christmas time when I went to the States, I got down at JFK. Of course, as usual, you know, we travel the way we've been trained to travel. You know, so you travel with a shirt, a pants, a shirt, and a jacket. You know, you got to present yourself properly at the border controls. So I got to JFK, waited for my bag, cleared my bag, and then as I was, you know, proceeding to customs and to the exit, then one customs officer, you know, drew my attention. And then he gave me a compliment. He said, you dress very neatly. I mean, you know, I don't know why he said that, because that's how we dress. So he said, can I look into your bag? And then I said, yes, of course, look into my bag. Why not? So you know, after the whole experience, when he opened my bag and saw how I'd also arranged my things in the bag, then he realized that it's not that I'm trying to portray a certain, you know, give them a certain picture, because I mean, they were looking at me. They have a jacket coming from Guyana. They're probably thinking, how can such a person come from Guyana like that? He has to have something, you know. So when he went to my bag, he didn't find it. Then he said, if he had not seen my bag arranged like how I am walking, I'm dressed, then he would have asked something. So he taught me a secret there again. That, you know what? You know, people look at you. People look at how you know. As profiling, people pick how you dress and all of that. And then, you know, they also relate in that manner. But I'm glad we're here this morning, isn't it? And I believe that God has great things in store for us. And now, if you are in our church, you realize that we have now understood why we say amen. We say amen because what the pastor is saying is a good thing. And therefore, to receive it for ourselves, to agree to what he's saying, you shout amen. So you should not be in a service and be quiet like you don't know how to receive things. Because as the pastor is speaking and preaching, God is making, releasing certain things into your life. The ones you say amen to are the ones you receive. The ones you don't say amen to are the ones you won't receive. So make sure that you are very focused and attentive, and that you are receiving the things that God has in store for you this morning. I decree that you not live here the same in the name of Jesus. Aha. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. We're looking at the theme for the year. And the theme is what? Serving the Lord, isn't it? So our focus this year is to serve God. Now, if you go anywhere, how many of you have listened to the homecoming, UK homecoming messages? How many of you have it? You've listened to it. Can I see your hand up? Hi. Where the bishop was consecrated, Bishop Kweku, and then the sisters were also consecrated. Please stand.
Wow.
Thank you very much. You may be seated. The rest of you, why? Do you have it? You have the podcast. But have you listened to it? You see, you won't do well if you don't do these things. Praise the Lord. You won't do well if you don't do these things. In our church, that is how we live our lives. Listening to messages. If you can't listen to messages, you can't blame somebody if you are also not seen as a serious person. You see, you'll be annoyed with yourself most of the time because you will not understand why certain things happen to you the way they happen to you. It's because you are not doing what you're supposed to do in the house. Yeah, so why do you expect them to receive certain things when you don't behave yourself properly in the house? So if you don't listen to messages, because we consecrated three ladies as Episcopal sisters, people were thinking that they were bishops. So somebody was even asking me, are they lady bishops? He said, and I said, listen to the message. If you listen to the message, you understand. Because you can't look at a picture on Facebook and then begin to just conclude. No, you have to listen to the messages that led. And if you listen to Bishop's message, he will tell you why, what he's doing. You are part of the church. You don't know what is going on. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I believe it's one of the greatest messages preached so far. Great grace. That's the title of the convention. Great grace. You must listen to it. It's available. But I see you becoming somebody else. Somebody who will follow the things of the house. You see, because if you don't become a real person of the house, things won't go your way. You see, I saw on the internet, there's a church around here who, I think when they finished their fast, they were all wearing white. They went to church all wearing white. And I said, look at some pastors. They're able to make everybody wear white. How many times have I told my people, everybody come in white? I said, find something bright, something light. I went to a church. I went to my sister when I was in England to her church. When you enter the church, then they put an envelope in your hand. Before you even say Jack Robinson, you have an envelope. I said, wow. In England, we should be giving you envelopes when you come into the church. That's how come some churches are doing the things they are doing. And you sit down and say, wow, what are they doing? You understand a lot of things. Otherwise, you'll be in the church and so many things will be going on and then you'll be a stranger. And then certain things will happen. I'm saying that you'll be frustrated with yourself because certain things will happen and you will not be able to understand it. And then you will think that, why is this like that? If you listen to the message, you understand even why we do certain things. There are certain things that as I'm preaching, you may not even get a chance to ask me. But when you listen to the message, you say, oh, that's why Reverend was saying what he's saying. It's true. Why even a homecoming in UK? I thought homecoming was in Ghana. It's something you need to understand. Why? Where's the church leading to? Why was a bishop consecrated in London, not in Ghana? All of that. There are things. Abigail, you have to. Why? There are things behind it. Unless you are not part of the church and you don't want to understand what is going on. Amen. All right, so we are talking about, what are we talking about? Serving the Lord. All right, so Exodus 4:22. I said it a few seconds ago. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Isn't it interesting? Don't go as yet. Stay with me, brother. Even my firstborn. Now, when you read here, you understand that Israel wasn't the firstborn. He was the second. Yeah. Everett, isn't it? Israel was the second, but he wasn't the first. The first was Esau. But he has become the first to God because the birthright was given to him. You know, I'm just teaching you something when you read the Bible. You must try and see things when you're reading the Bible. He's my firstborn. He goes on to say in verse 23, he says that, and I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. We are talking about serving the Lord this year. This year, some churches have, this is my year of breakthrough. This is my year of divine multiplication. This is my year of this, this is my year of that. But if you listen to the UK messages, Bishop said that he believes that prosperity message is in doing God's work. If there's any prosperity message he has to tell us or preach to us, that prosperity message is that work for the Lord. Because he says that he has been fantastically blessed, not because he chose to get rich, but he chose to do God's work. He says that he was not expecting anything much than a basic lifestyle. But he has been so fantastically blessed. For him, the conclusion is that, indeed, when you seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness, then indeed what God says is true, that all other things shall be added unto you. So he told us that the prosperity message he has for us is not that, hey, you shall... The prosperity message is that do God's work. And as you do it, God will bless you. I said, as you do it, God will bless you. I said, as you do God's work, he's going to bless you. I tell you. You see, when I went to America in around December, and at this time when I went to England, one of my sisters was telling me that, hey, Charlie, these days you become a very international man. You are just all over the place. It's a great thing to serve the Lord. I was even tired. I was counting my days. I called my travel agent. I said, please, can you change my return date? I'm getting bored in this place. The place is too cold. I can't understand why people are living in this country. I have to sleep with my jacket and something over my head so I don't get cold. When I have somewhere where I take off all my shirt and my singlet and I'll just be walking around like that, enjoying myself. Why should I put myself in such a bondage? I tell you. I have to drink hot tea all the time. Hot tea, hot tea, hot tea. You go to the wee-wee, you go and wee-wee, hot tea, wee-wee. Hot tea, wee-wee. Hey! You are in the living room and you have a blanket over you. It's cold. It's cold. Stacy, it's cold. I don't understand why people live there. Yeah, something. Pounds. People want to go. I met a mad woman in a plane when I was going. Yeah, she was mad. She's mad, yeah. I think she's probably from England. I think so. Because I think I saw her. On our way from Georgetown to Piako, Trinidad. I got seat number 8B. I went, I sat down my seat. Lo and behold, a woman, a daughter, and grandson comes. And then I heard them talking behind me. I didn't even realize what they were trying to say. Not only that, the woman says her seat is also 8B. So she wants her seat. So somebody from, I know your people, one of them came. And he said, sir, can I see your boarding pass? So I took out my boarding pass and he saw 8B. And then he asked the lady, What's your seat number? She also said 8B. And she was talking, hey, we came as a family. We have to go as a family. We want to sit on the same row. Like, I have done something wrong. So I was just there. And then the guy asked me if I mind changing my seat. I said, yes, I mind. I mind. You like pass people. I should come and say, you tell me to get up? I mind. Then the woman started talking. Then the guys were confused. They didn't know what to do. So my Christianity came. And I said, all right, let me just move and let's fix this thing. So I moved. When I moved to the seat behind me, on the opposite side behind me, then I said, well, these things, you know, you guys have to do it very nicely. Then the woman said, shut up! Then my Christianity went back. Went somewhere else. Yeah. Then I said, me? I should shut up? I said, today this play won't go. And I stood up. And then she sat down tight. I said, that is my seat. I'm not going anywhere. So they said, well, the plane will have delay. I said, it better have the delay. I am not going. This is my seat, and I'm sitting down. I'm not going. I should shut up. Did I give you 8B? I should shut up. Okay. So there was an air hostess, you know, around the cockpit area there. She saw me. She looked at me. She said, I went. And he said, sit at business class. Sit here. Sit here. Sit right here. Then my Christianity came back. What a wow. But I didn't feel nice. I really had wanted to show the woman something. So I went for my bags and all of that. And you know, the first class, they treat them like they are kings, and when you are a tourist, they treat you like you are nobody. So when the plane is about to, when it moves, then they draw a curtain. So you don't see what they are doing to the people in first class. They brought this, they brought some snack, they brought some drinks, they brought some newspapers and all of that. I said, man. Then when we got that way to Trinidad, then we were going to go around to get ready for a flight to Gatwick. Then an old man came and said, there's a lady who came first and said, I really commend the way you behaved. If it was me, she wouldn't have had it easy at all. Azawa. And then another older man came and said, the woman, she's crazy. Why is she behaving like that? She's very crazy. Some of these people, you know, they have frustrations. So people began to bring me support as I was there. Very interesting. You know. So, it's a nice story, huh? It's serving the Lord. You go all over. It's God. And people look at you and say, you go here, enjoy. Me? Yes. My family, they said, how many hours is your flight? I said, 9.5 hours. They say, it's too long. It's too far. I have come here. And you want God to just put me aside? I said, I have left how many hours and come here? When you are coming, one of the things I don't like when you are coming is more, you leave around 12 o'clock. 9.5 hours over the Atlantic. Ooh, if you look down, it's not nice. Oh. Now, Air Asia, Malaysia Airlines, all these things. When you sit in the place, Lord God, as if something happens, you'll be spared. Yeah? When I landed, I said, hey, God is good, oh. When I landed, I said, no, God is fantastic. Some people call it enjoyment, but I don't know whether you call it enjoyment or not. It's very scary. 9.5 hours. Woo! You know what happened to the Air Asia flight? It was human error. Yeah. The guy was flying at 30,000 feet. You get it? 30,000 feet, that's up there. And because of the weather, he asked for permission to go up to 38,000 feet. And for about 5-10 minutes or so, he got permission to go to 34 rather than 38. But analysts say that within three seconds or so, or 3 minutes, he climbed from 30 to 38. And the plane is not made to fly at 38,000 feet altitude. So when he went to 38,000, then the plane started coming down. That's it. And it was a co-pilot who was piloting the plane at that time. Not the main pilot. It was a co-pilot. Yeah. Just like sitting in the minibus with some crazy guy with music, conductor and things. And then you are just inside. So, praise the Lord. God will take us. No. Some human can make an error. You will not live again. God is good. That's my testimony, isn't it? But serving the Lord, if there was nothing like heaven, it's been worth serving the Lord. Because I was living in the world of darkness. He came along and brought me the light. So God says that, let my people go so that they will serve me. I want you to understand that the main reason why God wants you, the main reason why we become Christians, is that we will be able to serve God. You remember I told you about the type of, Egypt is the type of the world, Israel is the type of Christians, and Pharaoh is the type of the devil. And therefore, as God sent Moses to deliver the people of Israel, the Bible says that the law came by Moses, but the truth and grace came by Jesus Christ. Moses is compared to Jesus in a sense that Moses led God's people out of slavery into freedom. And Christ has also come, leading us from the darkness of the devil and the bondages of the enemy into the freedom and the gift of eternal life. It's the same thing. So everything that is a Christianity, you can study that same thing from the Bible in the area of the Israelites leaving Egypt to Canaan. How many are following me so far? Now, serving God was so important. Serving God was so important that God said, if you refuse to let my people go and serve me, I will kill your firstborn. Doing something for God, rendering service to God, is so important to God that God is willing to fight and kill your enemies so that you'll be free to serve him. That's how important serving God is. That's how important. So there's no point in trying to serve something else, spend your time and your efforts in something else, and all of that, when God really is very... He's very excited and very much giving to the idea of having you in his house. The idea is too fantastic. And we've been learning that it is a great thing to serve the Lord, because one of the things that makes it a great privilege to serve God is that God makes a difference between you and then those who don't serve God. Those who go to school are different from those who don't go to school. What do you think? People who live around money are different from those who don't live around money. People who live abroad, even when they come on vacation, you see that they came from abroad. The color, their dressing, the way they talk, the way they behave. So you cannot deny the fact that if somebody also serves God, that person also becomes different from somebody who doesn't serve God. And serving God is one of the greatest privileges you can ever afford yourself. I tell you, serving the Lord is one of the greatest privileges. But this morning, just pray for this Sunday or two Sundays to come. I just want us to look at what it means to serve God. You see, because in all of the talking we are talking, Anita, sometimes people don't even understand what we are talking about. What does it mean when you say you are serving the Lord? What does it mean? What does it mean to serve God? Now, one of the things we're starting in our church is that every Sunday we'll take testimonies. Okay, so share with me what God has been doing in your life so that I'll ask you to share it with us. It's a new thing we're starting. Because you realize that a lot of people sit down on the miracles that happen to them. And you see, the pastor preaches. The Bible is there. Pastors preaches a message and all of it. But sometimes when that somebody didn't think that can experience something wonderful, when you share it, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. So every Sunday, God is going to give you a testimony for next week's Sunday. I said, God is about to give you a testimony for next Sunday morning. Yeah, you come and testify about it. In Jesus' name. So, what does it mean to serve God? What does it mean? I shared the number one and number two with the first service. I'll share number three and number four with you. So it will be your number one, number two. Are you there? What does it mean to serve the Lord? If you are seeing me for the first time, it's nice meeting you. I'm the pastor of this church. Anybody else who saw was a hireling, was a caretaker. I have come back by the grace of God. Thank you very much. Just in case you are wondering, who is this visitor that they've gone to bring to come? I'm not a visitor at all. I live right here. Eesh. What does it mean to serve God? Reverend Bishop, you say that this is a year of serving the Lord. You're also preaching about it. But what does it really mean? It means that to serve God means to contribute to God's purpose. To serve God means to contribute. Shemiba, to contribute to God's purpose. And at this juncture, you want to ask yourself, what is your contribution to God's house and God's purpose in this house? Ask yourself that question. What is your contribution? What do you contribute? Are you a come and go type of Christian? You come and you go, come and go, come and go. You come and you go, you come and you go. And you want blessings. God does not give blessings to come and go people. At all. You see, the Bible says that if you work, then all you deserve is your wages. It's in Romans. I think it's chapter 4. Give me Romans chapter 4. I think maybe Romans 4 and 4, something like that. Romans chapter 4. I'm sharp. Now, to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Brother, don't go. Stay right there. You see, so the person works, his reward is not seen as grace or favor. His reward is seen as a debt. You have to pay the person. If somebody works and you don't give them water, you owe the person. It's a debt. Something you must give to the person. Are you there? If you work, now to him that works is the reward. If you work, what you must get for your reward is not anything that is linked to grace. Oh, something that you were given. No. It was not given to you. You worked for it. Everett, as you go to hospital, you work. They can't tell you at the end of the month that what the grace. What is grace? My money. I worked 40 hours a week. I did. You have to give me my money. You see, so if you serve God without contribution, God will also deal with you as somebody who is just serving without contribution. Just like those of us who just come and go. God will also deal with you, come and go. What are you expecting? God is a just God. He's a just God. The Bible says that God is just. When we say just, it means that God will tell you and deal with you just as it is. God does not make, he does not make any difference between Andriska and Tiana. Say, oh, this man. No. What you deserve is what you get. What you deserve is what you get. He will not give you anything extra. Something you didn't work for. Something, he will not give it to you. As much as he loves you, he will not do things that you did not qualify for. Period. Do they give you extra money when you work your 40 hours a week? So why are you expecting blessings when you don't do anything in the house of the Lord? Why are you expecting God to do something for you when you do not contribute to God's house? To serve God means that you contribute. You have something that you also give to help, to boost, to make sure that God's house is going on well. That is why personally, I take I find it very annoying when I see that people come here and do the opposite of what we want to do here. Jesus said that he who does not gather with me, he scatters. And I've said it time and time again. If you come here with a different purpose than coming to serve God, you are not welcome. Great. You see, I know a politician. He has told me that I should invite him to church when we are having a big program. You see, he passed me. Every Sunday is a big program Sunday. What he means is that if there's a big program, then he will come. And then, of course, once he comes, we'll say, oh, let's welcome Mr. Politician to say hello to the church. And then he will use that occasion and that platform to probably say something for himself and his party. Yeah, I pass people. If he was to come to church every Sunday, then when it's election time, we know who to vote for. Because we know that this is me, brother, right? So we vote that party. Yeah, that's what we do. Yeah. So why should God do something for you when you don't contribute? Why should we entertain you here when all that you came to do is to fight, is to break out and to disturb and to destroy and do the opposite? I will personally fight you. Let it be known unto you. We came here to serve God, to live together happily and all of that. Serve God and share our... If you came here with a different purpose, be it known unto you. I've come back. Today is 1st February. I am telling you. Telling you. I was in Amsterdam. I was talking to the chef, the leaders that the pastor gathered for me. When I asked the question, who pays tithe? Then everybody was saying, they don't pay tithe. I said, you are in this church, you say you are serving, you don't pay tithe? You don't pay tithe? Your simple level of obedience to God, you can't even do it. And you're in God's house, you want things. And you are not even obedient to God. You don't even love God to be faithful in giving him what he deserves. A tenth of your increase. It's very basic. Very, very basic. If you don't contribute, you are not serving God. To contribute means that you are serving God. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 1. To serve the Lord means to contribute to God's purposes. So one of the things you must ask yourself, like I said earlier, what do I contribute to the Lighthouse Chapel International? What do I contribute here? Here. Here. What do you do here? Yeah, a BBC to Freeman Street. What do you do here? In fact, when I go anywhere, they ask me what's my address. I say it's Freeman Street. This, if you look for me, that's where you find me. If you want to know where I live right there. Where's my address? Why do you want to know where I live? I live right up in the church. I'm a church man. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. Two says that. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits. How many of you have been healed from evil spirits? Everybody has been healed from evil spirits. Come on, don't bring yourself. Everybody. Except those who still love it and still have it around. Everybody. Some lie spirit is gone. Some anger spirit is gone. Some fornication spirit is gone. Some sex demon is gone. Some something, something, something demon has left you. Yeah. Since you gave your life to Christ. Something, some masturbation demon has left. Don't bring yourself. Yeah. Except those who love demons. Yeah. I'm sure some demons of lesbianism they've gone. Even though they try to trouble you now and then, I'm sure they're gone. In the name of Jesus. They shall not come back in the name of Jesus. Uh-huh. Oh yeah, some demons. You see, the more you receive the word is light. It drives away darkness. And so Jesus had cast out certain evil, had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Last time I was praying for somebody, and I asked him, hey, how many are you? He said, we are six. It's all right. I'm counting 1 to 10. You go now. I say, one, out. Two, out. I said, I counted two. You know mathematics, right? It's four left. Now, out. Six of them. This one had seven. I'm sure some of you have, 18 have left you. Number three. The Bible says, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. What do you contribute to the church? You are a come and go person. You come and you go. During the first service, I was sharing with them about having a duty. To serve God means you even have a duty in the house of God. What is your duty? Is there something that is here that you are responsible for in the house of God? Ask yourself. If you are going to serve the Lord, Shimola, if you are going to serve the Lord, then you must have a responsibility. What do you do? Ask yourself. Ask the person sitting next to you. What do you do? What do you really do here? In Lighthouse Chapel International, what do you do? What can you link to your name? That in Lighthouse, I am the person who does this. I am the person who contributes this way. I am the person who does that. Because to you, this is God's house. God's house is not out there. This is God's house. What do you do in serving the Lord? What do you do in God's house? Somebody is dancing here. You see, they came, the four girls, they came to dance. You don't do anything. And you don't even clap when they finish dancing. You don't clap. You have comments to make. You know, that other one, he's not moving like everybody's moving. You cannot even move if you were to stand on stage. What do you do? Yeah, you are sitting on the sidelines, ringside, and you are giving commentary. Bad commentary. But if you were placed here, when you stand, then you see how it is to stand on stage. What is your contribution? Some women ministered to Jesus out of their substance. What do you minister? We are not talking about ministering to me. We are talking about ministering to God, to the church. What do you do? What do you contribute? What is your contribution to the church? What is your contribution towards God's house? Your contribution is a sign of your service to God. Some of you, even when we close, you are out. It's like there are some wood ants that are biting you. You are going out. You don't have time. Yeah. No, if this year, Joylene, if this year we say we are going to serve God, we have to understand what we are talking about. Don't come and go. Only Sundays you come. And you go, you say, it's a year of serving the Lord. No, you better say it's a year of not serving the Lord. It's better for you. And let me say, caution some of you out of love. Some of you, you are like that.
You are not straight. You are like that. You're not straight. People who are not straight, they are very dangerous. And you see, those of you also who are not fully committed, you must also watch it. Because that also makes you something. You must be fully persuaded about this thing here that we are doing. Oh, was it Jacob that I was talking to? I told Jacob, I said, me, I left Holland. I was living in Holland. We know or we knew why we came here. It's not something that I just did because I don't know. No, it was a conscious decision to come to Guyana and come and start a church. I didn't come to Guyana to enjoy Kaijo Falls. I've never been there. I don't even know where it is. And I'll not go on that plane that we can't find you when it disappears. Please take your Kaijo Falls. I don't want no Air Services Limited plane when it disappears. They've given up on that guy who fell into the bush jungle. So they can't find you. Hey, I beg you. I didn't come here not to be found. I said, we have left consciously the things that are there. And we have come here. I told you, I said, it's a conscious decision. We know what we have done. It's not now that I'm not sure whether I should or I should not. Should I come? Should I not come? Man, should I stay away? Oh, man, I vex. No. This thing here, vexing is part of what we are doing here. You think you also don't vex me too? You think you don't vex me? Alexis, you think you don't vex me too? You want to talk about vexing and offenses? I asked Reverend Isan to do me a favor and buy something when I was absent. He went to do all of that research, gave me the price, but he didn't follow it up. When I came yesterday, I organized to buy the thing. He comes to the office and I show him that I have the thing. So these things, they are not good. You understand what I'm telling you? He didn't go and buy. Now I have come 9 hours with a plane over the Atlantic. I have come. I've gone to organize the thing. He comes and I show him that, look at the thing we've gone to. And he tells me, these things, these ones, they are not good. I shouldn't get vexed? Should I not get vexed? You see? You are the only one who can get vexed. Yeah. Yeah. You come and you. But this is part of it. This is part of it. So your contribution cannot depend on how you feel. Whether you woke up well this morning or not, your contribution, your serving God is something that must be constant. It must be secure. It must be assured. And it must not fail. Don't serve God because you feel like. Yeah. You want to serve God? You are welcome here at the Light of Chapel International. You don't want to serve God? St. Pius is right there. Transfiguration is on the public road there. 7 day Salvation Army. Flag out. Obia Church. Obia Church. You can go to all of them. Royalty has come. We have a brother on the corner there. Royalty. Uh-huh. You can go to the royal house. I'm sure they will welcome you. But I believe that this year we are going to experience God in a different way. I believe that this year our service to God is going to become sweet and beautiful. I see this year a great service in your life and in this church. I can see that this year God is going to be pleased with us because we're going to serve Him in a different way. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and put your hands together. for the Lord. Wow.
Contribution. Contribution. And you know, the best way to respond to this message is to think in your mind and your heart, what do I contribute? What do I do? Samuel, what do I do? If I have something doing, I should thank God for it. And you should pray that you never be taking that thing away from you. Because then you are going backwards. Yeah. And if you do something, you contribute something in the house of the Lord, don't feel like it's your right. We owe you something. It's God you are doing it for. We can't put you on a palanquin and lift you up and make you feel like you are a king or a queen. No, it is God you are doing it for. Sometimes people get vexed. They say, oh, that church, how I worked in that church. I give me money. You money? Give me the money. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why don't you just thank God? Lift up your voice. Thank God that you have something to contribute. Even if you don't have confessed, Lord, I know, but by the time I leave, I have something to contribute. Something that, Lord, you will lay upon my heart to do in your house, to do in your kingdom. Right here at the Lighthouse Chapel International, I will contribute to the purpose of this church. I will contribute. I'll bring people to church. I will pray for this church. I'll pray for the pastor. I will give my money. I'll give my time, my energy. Lord, I will contribute. Because I have come to understand that contributing is what means that I'm serving you. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Kabrondos. Kerebe. Shikabarandas. Randerebe. Kabrandeme. Shikete. Baranda. Bakaya bandoro mokebrende. Randereme. Kabranda masanda. Likebere. Rikebere. Rikebere. Shatayama kabrondereme. Shikete. Rama mama, contribution, oh God. Contribution, oh God. Our contribution. Lord, when you look down upon us here in the church, may you be able to mark everybody's contribution. May you be able to point out everybody's contribution. From this day forward, in the name of Jesus, we will not serve you without contributing of our substance, of our time, of our energy, and of the things that, Lord, you lay on our heart. Leka brandeme kebere. Rike bebebe, shikataya baraba. Kandara makabandere beke. Reke bereme shikataya baba. Landere meka baraba shikataya baba. Remo sokoto yoborobo. Rakatata tamana makirie me sekete bere. Sheke berebe shakataya baba baba. You are here this morning. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know very well in your heart that you are far from God. You know that if you were to die right now, you will not go to heaven. God loves you. That's why he sent Jesus to come and die for you. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to be born again. I'm not talking about baptism. I'm not talking about communion. I'm not talking about having support from the church, having any contribution to it. I'm talking about being born again, that your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. Pastor, I want to experience the born again. I want to experience the born again experience. I want to experience it personally and practically. I want to be born again and I want to go to heaven when I die. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you are here like that, just your right hand up high. You don't know when you will die. You do not know when you will die. You don't want to die and go to hell. You need to give your heart to Jesus. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Wherever you are, just lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Pastor, please pray with me. God bless you. I see the hand. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you are here like that, just your right hand up high. Then I'll do so. If you lift up your hand, I'll ask you to come. If you're serious, come to me. I want to pray for you. Come, sweetheart.
Come running to that mercy.
Clap for them as they come.
Where Jesus is calling, his grace will be a covering. His blood will,
God bless you,
flow freely.
God bless you right here.
It will provide,
God bless you, my dear,
a healing. Come running,
God bless you. You want to join them? Come quickly before we pray. Come on, sing it. He said, come on.
He said that I could come into his presence without fear. Into the holy place where his mercy hovers deep.
Come to Jesus, we're waiting for you. Come. I believe there's one person here who needs to come. You need to come, we're waiting for you.
Jesus is calling. His grace will be a covering.
One more person. God is calling you. Come. Run to the mercy seat.
Come running to the mercy seat.
Come, we're waiting for you.
He said that I could come into his presence without fear. Into the holy place where his mercy hovers near. Come running to the mercy seat where Jesus is calling. His grace will be a covering. His blood will flow freely. It will provide a healing. Come running to the mercy seat.
Wow, it takes a very simple prayer to be saved. While your eyes are closed, your heads are bowed, you want to lift up your right hand and pray this prayer with me. I want the church to join in even as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. And I open my heart. I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart to be my master and my savior. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. And I believe God raised him from the dead. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. I pledge myself to the Christian faith. I declare that I will serve the Lord God Almighty with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. And I pray that, Father, you keep me. You keep me on this road for the rest of my days. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.